This Chazar is like Nishabach HaShashraga from Yehudim Sechlik Subas Daf Ayin Tes. The Gemara says it was a woman who wanted to keep her properties out of the reach of her husband when she was getting remarried, so she wrote them to a gift to her daughter. When she got divorced, she wanted it back from the daughter. The daughter said, I'm not giving back to you. You gave it to me. She went to Rav Nachman, who tore up the gift document and returned the properties to the woman. Rav Onan felt that Rav Nachman was wrong for doing so. But Rukva told him that Rav Chani Loi Bar Edi, in the name of Shmuel, said that a document that was created to hide assets from a husband should be torn up and has no effect. Ravi asked Rav Nachman, you did so because you assumed that a person would not give away all their assets to somebody else when they themselves need it. However, giving to a child is not like giving someone else, so maybe the gift should be valid. Rav Nachman said, someone doesn't even give everything to a child if it means they'll be left without anything for themselves. Therefore, the gift is not effective at all. A Braisa says that one who wants to make a gift just to hide assets from her husband has to write that the gift should only take effect when she wants it to take effect. This suggests that if that's not written, the recipient would be cutting the property. So Rav Zera said, Shmuel was talking about a case where she gave away all her assets, and therefore you can tell it's not a real true gift, whereas the bride is discussing which only gave away some of her assets. So if she wants to get them back, she has to write this in her takanah shtar that it's only when she wants it to take effect. If she writes the language specified in the bride, the assets don't belong to the recipient. Because she wrote that, if the husband should be kind to them, Abaya said, they get the status of unknown assets, which the husband is not kind, according to Rav Shimon, and it's following Rav Shimon. Zok the Mishnah, if a married woman inherits money, the money is used to purchase real property, and the husband eats the produce of that property. The same is done if she inherits produce that is detached from the ground. If she inherits produce that's still attached to the ground, and Mary says, we appraise the value of the land without the produce and the value with the produce, and the difference is then used to buy another piece of land from which the husband eats the produce. The Chum say, produce attached to the ground belongs to him, whereas produce detached belongs to her. And she would sell it and buy a piece of land with the proceeds and the husband would then eat the produce of that land that was bought. Shimon says, whereas the husband has the advantage when he marries her, he has a disadvantage when he divorces her and vice versa. For example, just as he is entitled to produce to the produce attached to the ground at the time of the marriage, she's entitled to the produce attached to the ground at the time of the termination of the marriage. And just as she's entitled to the produce detached from the ground at the time of the marriage, he is entitled to that produce at the time of the termination of the marriage. The Gemara says, it's obvious that if one of them want to use the money to buy land, the other wants to buy houses, they have to buy land. If one of them wants to buy houses, the other wants to buy date trees, they buy houses. If one wants to buy date trees, the other wants to buy fruit trees, they buy date trees. If one wants to buy fruit trees and the other wants to buy grapevines, they buy fruit trees. The Gemara says, when determining whether something is classified as the principal or as the produce, we look to see whether the item generates or replenishes after use. If it does, it's considered to be produce. Rabbi Zeir or Rabbi Abba, in the name of Rabbi Yishai and the name of Rabbi Yane, said, if one steals the offspring of a malug animal, the kafel payment goes to the wife. In fact, Rabbi Abba says, the Rabbanan say that the offspring of a malug animal goes to the husband, although the offspring of a malug maidservant goes to the wife. Hananya, the nephew of Yishai, says that both offspring go to the husband. Rabbi Yana can't be following either sheet of the Braisa. The Mar says he could be following either sheet of the Rabbanan. Only instituted that the husband get the produce, meaning the offspring, and the kafel payment is therefore considered to be the produce of the produce, which the husband is not entitled to. Because he only gets the produce, not the produce of the produce. Why do they're about to treat the case of the animal and the maidservant differently? Where it says, when the maidservant dies, the wife is left with no principal property, and therefore she keeps the offspring to ensure that she has principal. However, when an animal dies, she still has the skins of the animal, and in that way retains some type of principal asset. Rav Bachi, the name of Shmuel, passes like Chananya. Rav, the name of Nachman, said Chananya would agree. If the couple were to divorce, the wife could force the husband to sell the offspring of the maid back to her, because that's considered to be part of the prestige of her father's house. Rav, the name of Nachman, said if she has maluk property of a goat, a sheep, a chicken, or a date tree, the husband may eat the produce, meaning the milk, the wool, the eggs, the dates, until the principal is consumed. Rav Nachman said, if she has a cloak of maluk property, the husband is allowed to wear it until it is consumed. Mishnah of Shimon Oimer, Mokam Sheyofa Kaichai. Rav explained the difference between the Tanakam and Rav Shimon is regarding produce that was attached to the ground at the time of the divorce. Tanakam would say that it belongs to the husband in that case. Zok the Mishnah, if a married woman inherits old slaves or maids, they should be sold and the proceeds should be used to buy a piece of land. The husband eats the produce from that property. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says they don't have to be sold because they represent the prestige of her father's house. The Mishnah continues, if a married woman inherits an old olive trees or grapevines, they should be sold and the proceeds used to be buy a piece of land. The husband eats the proceeds of that property. Rabbi Yehuda says they don't have to be sold because they represent the prestige of her father's property. Zok the Gemara, if Kahana name of Rav said, Machloikas regarding the trees and the grapevines is where she also inherited the surrounding field, so she'll always be left with the field after the trees die. However, if she only got the trees, everyone would agree you have to sell them, because if not, the principal asset will be lost as well. Rav Yosef asks, we see that they argue in the case of old slaves, which was like a case of her getting trees without the surrounding field. Mar says, it must be there. If Kahana named Rav said, Machloik is only where she didn't get any of the field. However, if she did get the surrounding field, all would agree that she should not sell them, because that represents the prestige of her father's house. Zok the Mishnah, if a husband spent money on the maluk property of his wife and then he divorced her, if he also ate some of the produce, he's not entitled to any reimbursement for what he spent. Even if he spent more than he ate, as long as it was he ate even a minute amount. However, if he ate absolutely nothing, he has to swear how much he spent, and it takes reimbursement. In fact, the Gemara, how much is considered to be a minute amount? Rav said even a single dried fig that was eaten in a dignified manner. Abba and Rav said even a cake of pressed dates. In fact, Gemara, BB asked, what about if the cake was made out of squeezed dates? What if the produce was not eaten in a dignified manner? How much would it have to be eaten? So Ula said, two Amar Rabbi Eretz Yisrael argued, one said it would have to be produce worth an Isser, and one says it would have to be produce worth a dinner. The judges of Pumbedisa said, Rabbi Yehuda said that a husband who fed bundles of twigs to his animals was considered to have eaten from the produce and was thereby not allowed reimbursement. Rabbi Yaakov Rabbi Chissa said, if a husband spends money on the Maluk property of his wife who is a minor and who can therefore refuse the marriage when she becomes an adult, he's allowed reimbursement even if he ate the produce. Why? The Rabbanan allowed that so that her fields should be well taken care of in the meantime.